الحمدللہ رب العالمین والصلاة والسلام علی سید المرسلین اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الصلاة والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ الصلاة والسلام علیک یا حبیب اللہ الصلاة والسلام علیک یا نبی اللہ وعلی آلک و صحابک یا نور اللہ دی ویورز آف مدنی چینل اور بلوڈ پروفٹ صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وآلہ وسلم اسٹیٹڈ Anyone who recites 50 times Durood upon me every day, I will shake hands with him on the day of judgment. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Welcome back in the silsila, in the light of Quran. As you know, in this silsila, we discuss some particular verses of Quran and then we try to attain and acquire some madni pearls from Mufti Sahib Damat Barakatuhul Aliyah. Inshallah Azzajal, we will continue the same topic and which was the incident of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam as it has been described in Surah Baqarah. Our today's question, before raising the question, let me give you a brief background of the question that when Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was sent down to the earth and that time Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam had been making repentance for almost 300 years and for 300 years he couldn't receive any answer from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and after 300 years Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was granted some certain words or kalimats from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and because of those kalimats his tawbah, his repentance was accepted as Quran Kareem states this thing فتلقى آدم من ربه كلمات فتاب عليه انه هو التواب الرحيم Translation Then Adam learned some words from his Lord so Allah accepted his repentance indeed only he is the one who is most accepting of repentance and most compassionate Let's ask Mufti Sahib what were those words and what is the meaning of فتلقى آدم من ربه كلمات
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم When حضرت آدم علیہ السلام was sent down to this earth he kept on seeking forgiveness from Allah عز و جل for hundreds of years then Allah عز و جل taught him some sentences, some kalimat and آدم علیہ السلام recited those kalimat in the court of Allah عز و جل and his repentance was accepted Now the question that what were those sentences, what were those kalimat which Allah Azza wa Jal has described in this ayah, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ So now there is no particular narration about them. There are two opinions. One opinion is derived from Quran and the another opinion is derived from one hadith. According to those people who take point from Quran, they say, Those kalimat, those sentences were these sentences رَبَّنَا غُلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ O our Lord, we have wronged ourselves and if you don't forgive us and have mercy upon us, we must become among the losers. So these were the words which Adam alayhi salatu wasalam recited in the court of Allah and Allah azza wa jal forgive him, Allah azza wa jal accepted his repentance. And the second kalima, the second sentences which Adam alayhi salatu wasalam offered in the court of Allah azza wa jal, those were the wasila of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that narration had been narrated in Mustadrak Imam Hakim. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that when Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam kept on seeking forgiveness from Allah azza wa jal, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam said, requested in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal with these words: O Allah, with the wasila of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please forgive me. Allah Azza wa Jal asked Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, O Adam, how did you know Muhammad while I haven't created him? Adam alayhi salatu wasalam replied, O Allah, when you created me and I raised my head, I saw on your throne, it was written, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So I realized, I came to know the name you have joined with your name. That must be the name of that personality who is the most beloved to you. That's why now I am offering his wasila into your court. Then Allah Azza wa Jal, after these sentences, Allah Azza wa Jal forgave Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So might be now the reconciliation is possible among these two sentences, that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam recited both kalimat. He recited those kalimat, Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. And along with that, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam recited another kalimat as well. So in his supplication, both sentences were, and because of these sentences, Allah Azza wa Jal accepted his repentance. And it is assisted, this opinion is assisted by this proof that Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned the word kalimat, not kalima. So means these were few kalima, these were few sentences. And Rabbana walamna anfusa, that is only one kalam. So if we take these both narrations and both sentences, so then it would be kalimat. So means Adam alayhi salatu wasalam offered these two kalimat in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah Azza wa Jal accepted Adam alayhi salatu wasalam repentance.
Subhanallah, a wonderful reconciliation between two different opinions of the scholars. Dear viewers of Madri channel, the biography or the character of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam is actually embodiment of humbleness and repentance. And on the other hand, the cursed shaitan is actually embodiment of takabbur, arrogance and disobedience. Now here arises a question that what is repentance and what is the definition of arrogance as well? Why? Because unless we come to know about these things, we will not be able to attain repentance, and at the same time we will not be able to save ourselves from arrogance. So Mufti Sahab, what is the meaning of repentance, tawbah, and what is the meaning of takabbur or arrogance?
Tawbah and takabbur, repentance and arrogance, that is one of the main lessons of this story. Because Allah Azza wa Jal said same words to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Shaitan. To Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Azza wa Jal said, why did you eat from that tree? Adam alayhi salatu wasalam asked, O Allah, I made mistake, please forgive me. And Allah Azza wa Jal said the same words to Shaitan, why didn't you make sajda to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam when I have commanded you? He said, O Allah, I am better. Ana khayrun minhu, khalaqtani min nari wa khalaqtahu min teen. You have created me from fire and you have created him from soil. So that behavior is the main thing which we are being taught in this story. The character of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam is submission in the code of Allah, surrender in the code of Allah, and repentance in the code of Allah, and being humble in the code of Allah. That is the character of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And immediately Adam alayhi salatu wasalam confessed his mistake and sought repentance in the code of Allah, sought forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jal. And on the other hand, the character of Shaitan is very obvious, that is clear, that he said, O Allah, I am better from him, that's why I didn't follow your commandment, I didn't surrender myself to you, and I didn't do sajda in front of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So he said openly. Now, what is the meaning of tawbah? So the meaning of tawbah, because tawbah is very important, and that is one of the main, main quality of every Muslim, even in tasawwuf, in hadith, in Quran, wherever we read, so we find tawbah everywhere. Even that is the first chapter of tasawwuf, that is the first chapter of tafsir, because from repentance we start our life. We rectify our character, But the first step and the first stage of good character is repentance. So now what is the meaning of repentance? The meaning of repentance is very obvious, and to be ashamed of our mistake and our sins, then to leave that immediately, then to determine not to commit that sin again. These are three conditions of repentance. For example, if a person is habitual of backbiting, now he wanna become repentant of that. So what would be the condition? First of all, he must leave his backbiting. The second, he should be ashamed of that. He should be embarrassed of that in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the third, he must determine not to commit that backbiting again in future. So these are three conditions of tawbah and repentance. Then there are some other conditions in tawbah as well. For example, if that is a matter of huququllah, the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal, so then there might be some recompense of that, as a person has missed many prayers. So now if he repents of that, so now he has to offer those previous prayers as well. So, and if he has snatched the money of someone, if he has stolen the money of someone, so he has to return that money back to that person. That is another condition in tawbah. Now what is the meaning of takabbur and arrogance? Arrogance, in one hadith, there is a beautiful definition of takabbur. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, takabbur is ghamtunna, batrul haqqi wa ghamtunnas. Not to accept truth and then consider other people as inferior. So considering other people inferior and rejecting truth without any sharia reason, that is the meaning of arrogance. And so these are two kinds of takabbur, we can say. These are two kinds. Sometimes that kind of takabbur takes place, sometimes the other kinds of takabbur takes place. As in one hadith, in one ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal has told about a munafiq. Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ اتَّقِ اللَّهَ أَخَذَتْهُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْمِ فَحَسْبُهُ جَهَنَّمُ. That is about a munafiq. And what was the character of that munafiq? So when he was said to fear from Allah Azza wa Jal, when he was said, have fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, so what did he used to do? Allah Azza wa Jal said, أَخَذَتْهُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْمِ. His stubbornness incited him to sin more, as it happens in our society as well. Sometimes those people who are rich or who have status, or they are political leaders, or they are some other kinds of leaders, if they are made understand something in public, so what is their behavior, what is their reply, what is the response? They say, who are you to make us understand? You know our status? Do you know how much wealth and how much money I have? Do you know my status? So who are you to make me understand? So that kind of behavior appear from these kind of people in our society as well. And that is purely arrogance and takabbur. And that is the same takabbur which has been mentioned in that hadith. Batrul haq, wa ghamtun nas. That is batrul haq, to reject truth without any sharia reason. So that is the meaning of arrogance.
Dear viewers of Madani channel, as Mufti Sahib also said, that repentance is one of the characteristics of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and because of repentance his status was elevated and he was accepted. And then arrogance is quality or attribute of Satan, and just because of his first crime or disobedience which he committed, takabbur and arrogance, he was rejected, and then he was thrown out from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And till today he is called cursed shaitan or rejected shaitan, the rejected one and the cursed one. Moving forward, being a Muslim, it is our responsibility to be aware of the tricks of shaitan, because unless we are aware of his tricks and targets, we will not be able again to save ourselves from the tricks of shaitan. So Mufti Sahib, here I want you to please tell the viewers of Madhi channel, what are the targets of shaitan, and then how can we save ourselves from his tricks as well, which he plays with us again and again.
What is shaitan against us? Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned in many places in the Holy Quran, and one ayah is very famous, that is very popular, innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. indeed shaitan is your open enemy. So he is our enemy in every condition, whether we are weak or we are strong, we are sick or we are healthy, we are rich or we are poor, whatever condition we have, shaitan is our enemy. Even shaitan is enemy of those people who are the followers of shaitan.
Allah Allah.
As infidels, as non-believers, they are the followers of shaitan. But even then, shaitan is their enemy. So shaitan is enemy for all the human beings. Innahu lakum aduwwum mubin. And he's not only enemy of us, he's the enemy of angels, he's the enemy of jinns, and he's the enemy of Allah Azza wa Jalla as well. Because aduwwullah, that is the title of shaitan, that is in the Quran. He is the enemy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So now what are the targets of shaitan? So shaitan has mentioned his targets in the code of Allah Azza wa Jalla when he was rejected the first time. That time he said to Allah Azza wa Jal, قَالَ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. He said, O Allah, because you have misguided me. فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي, O Allah, because you have misguided me. That was his blame, ma'adallah, over Allah Azza wa Jal. So he said these words, these harsh words in the code of Allah Azza wa Jal, O Allah, because you have misguided me. So what will I do? لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. I will sit for your creation on your right path. Then I will come to them from their right, from their left, from their front, from their behind. And then because of my deception, because of my tricks, because of my whispers, what will they do? They will be ungrateful to you. They will not pay gratitude to you, so they will be ungrateful bondmen of you. So that is the aim and that is the target and that is the announcement of shaitan in the code of Allah Azza wa Jal, what he had to do in future. So these were the words he said in the code of Allah Azza wa Jal. So now what is the meaning of coming from right and left and front and behind? Basically it means that he will use all kinds of tricks for deceiving people, whether those belong to beliefs or belong to good deeds or belong to sins or belong to their worldly life or belong to their social life or belong to their private life or belong to their public life. So he will use his tricks for deceiving people, and that is his character, and that is these are what he is doing nowadays with all people. So now when that is the aim of shaitan, so now how can we protect ourselves from the whispers of shaitan, from the tricks of shaitan, and from the deception of shaitan? So first of all, Allah Azza wa Jal has taught us seeking refuge with Allah Azza wa Jal. As فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. And we say, أَعُوذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. I seek refuge with Allah Azza wa Jal from accursed shaitan, from rejected shaitan. So first of all, because we don't see shaitan, and shaitan observes us, and he is always awaking, and we sleep and we wake up, so we do both. Then we don't know what he is doing now. Right now, what he is doing, we don't know. But he knows what we are doing right now. And he is aware of every inside out of our life. He knows what is going on in our heart. He knows what is our plan in future. He knows what we are making intention. So what we make intention, he tries to divert us from that intention. We make intention that tomorrow morning I will offer Fajr prayer with congregation. So we make intention, that intention is in our heart and he knows that. So he uses his tricks and he tries to deceive us. Then he does whatever he can do. So that is the difference between shaitan and between us. But in spite of all these things, Allah Azza wa Jalla has told us that the plan of shaitan, the makr of shaitan, the plan of shaitan, the deception of shaitan is very weak. Now there is a question, if the plan is the work of shaitan is very weak, so how can we be deceived? Because we easily get in the web of shaitan, So when the trick of shaitan is weak, when his makar is very weak, so how does he use his tricks over us? So basically, we have weakened ourselves. If a person has strong belief, then in front of that person, the makar of shaitan is very weak. But if a person has weakened himself, then he becomes weaker than the tricks of shaitan. So that's why he is deceived by the tricks of shaitan. So first of all, the best way to get rid of shaitan, get rid of the whispers of shaitan, is to seek refuge with Allah Azza wa Jal. The second, to be aware of the tricks of shaitan, because we can confront that person whose tricks we are aware of. If we know what will he do with us, so then we can protect ourselves from that person. We can protect ourselves from our enemy when we know what kind of weapons he has, what kind of weapons he will use against us. So that's why, and for that purpose, Ilm-e-Deen is the best tool to be aware of the weapons of shaitan. So if we get Islamic knowledge, if we read Quran, if we read Ahadith, so in Quran, in Ahadith, there are many things which have been mentioned about shaitan. That is the weapon of shaitan. That is the weapon of shaitan. For example, hasad is the weapon of shaitan. Takabur is the weapon of shaitan. Then desire for name and fame, love with wealth, love with this world, and being neglectful about akhirah, being neglectful about grave, being neglectful about the day of judgment. So these are the weapons of shaitan. Shaitan uses these weapons against us. So if we are aware of the weapons of shaitan, then we can safeguard ourselves from his weapons. Otherwise, if we don't have knowledge, so then in any kind of ditch, he can put us and he can cast us. So that's why the learning Islamic knowledge is very important, and that is very beneficial in this regard. Then sitting in the company of those people who are aware of the weapons of shaitan, because sometimes we get knowledge, but because the tricks of shaitan are too much and the whispers of shaitan are beyond our imagination and beyond our knowledge, so that's why sometimes in our own heart, in our own thoughts, we consider that we have been protected from the whispers of shaitan. But shaitan is working through our those thoughts as well. So we, in our mind, in our thoughts, we are considering ourselves that we have protected ourselves from his whispers. But even in those thoughts, he is deceiving us. We are considering ourselves that we have removed filth of arrogance and filth of jealousy from our heart, but that is still in our heart, but we are not aware of that. So for that purpose, getting bay'ah, having bay'ah on the hand of Shaykh-e-Kamil is very important, and that is very necessary, because that personality has passed all the stages. He has crossed all the stages and he knows all the tricks of shaitan. He can tell us about the real conditions of our heart, whether we have removed those spiritual diseases from our heart or not. So that's why having bay'ah on the hand of Shaykh-e-Kamil is also very important to be away from the tricks of shaitan.
Subhanallah. The viewers of Madrini channel, knowledge and then to be in the company of pious people, these are the two main points if we want ourselves to be safeguarded and protected from the tricks of shaitan. Then according to Mufti Sahab, knowledge is the biggest weapon of us against shaitan. And then let me give you some information, how can you attain the knowledge. Dawat Islami, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, working throughout the world in different departments, and one of the main goals of Dawat Islami is to spread the right and correct knowledge and information. So if you are thirsty of knowledge, then you can come to Dawat Islami and acquire knowledge. You can learn Islamic knowledge through the website of Dawat Islami, through the Madani Muzakaras of Amil Sunnah, through the Bayanats of Nigrani Shura, and then different Muballighins. If you want to read something, then lot of books are available on the website of Dawat Islami. And then they are not only in Urdu, but Alhamdulillah, they have been translated into the different languages of the world. So please come and visit the website of Dawat Islami, and you will find lot of information and Islamic knowledge in these books. Reviews of Madhi channel, the other thing is, to have the company of pious people. Indeed, sohbate saleh tura saleh kunad and sohbate tale tura tale kunad. If you are sitting in the company of a pious person, you will also become a pious. But if you are sitting in the company of a wicked person, so you will also one day or other get wicked. May Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the wickedness and grant us tawfiq to be in the company of pious people. Moving to the next question, and that is regarding the verse number 40 of Surah Baqarah, which says, translation, O children of Yaqub, remember my favors which I bestowed upon you and fulfill my covenant. I shall fulfill your promise and only fear me. Musab, there are many things, but initially I just want to ask you that it was said that covenant which they were to fulfill. So what is the meaning of covenant here in this verse?
Allah Azza wa Jalla said in this ayah, Ya Bani Israel, Azkuru Ni'mati Allati Anamtu Alaykum, the Awfu Bi Ahdi, Awfu Bi Ahdikum. The first thing that Allah Azza wa Jalla has granted a lot of blessings and favors to them. What were those favors and what was those bounties which Allah Azza wa Jalla has granted them? So Allah Azza wa Jalla granted them salvation from Firaun. Allah Azza wa Jalla provided water in that plain of Tiya, where there was no water. Allah Azza wa Jal granted them and provided them man and salwa in that desert. And Allah Azza wa Jal parted the sea for them. And they crossed the sea and Firaun was thrown into that. So Allah Azza wa Jal parted sea for them. These were the bounties of Allah Azza wa Jal and favors of Allah Azza wa Jal, what Allah Azza wa Jal has conferred upon them. First of all, Allah Azza wa Jal is reminding of these favors. Then Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, وَأَوْفُوا بِأَهْدِي أُوفِ بِأَهْدِيكُمْ. You fulfill your covenant, I will fulfill my covenant. Means that is the mutual covenant between Allah Azza wa Jal and Bani Israel and those people. What was that? There are many opinions regarding that, but two are famous and two are preferable. The first one is this, that Bani Israel was given that covenant that when the final and last prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will come, they will have to believe in him. And because through Quran they are being addressed in this place, so it means Allah Azza wa Jal is addressing them that I have made covenant with you that when I will send Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as final prophet, you will have to bring faith in him. So now fulfill your covenant, I will fulfill my covenant. So now what is the promise of Allah Azza wa Jalla with them? If they believe in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah will grant them respect in this world. Allah will make them enter into paradise, and Allah Azza wa Jalla will grant them victory over other nations, and Allah Azza wa Jalla will give them excellence over other nations. That was the promise of Allah Azza wa Jalla with them. That is one opinion. The second opinion, the covenant and the promise which has been mentioned in this ayah, that is that promise which Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned in the Holy Quran in other place. And what is that? Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَلَقَدْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla has took covenant from Bani Israel. What is that? Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَقَالَ اللَّهُ إِنِّي مَعَكُمْ, I am with you. لَئِنْ أَقَمْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَيْتُمُ الزَّكَاةَ وَآمَنْتُمْ بِرُسُلِي وَعَزَّرْتُمُوهُمْ وَأَقْرَضْتُمُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا لَأُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَلَأُدْخِلَنَّكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ. That was the covenant, because Allah Azza wa Jalla has described this covenant with the word of covenant, that وَلَقَدْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. And in that ayah Allah Azza wa Jalla is also saying, وَأَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِي. So that ahd, that covenant, was that covenant which Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned in that ayah, وَلَقَدْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. So now in that ayah, what is being said? لَإِنْ أَقَمْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ, if you establish prayer and you pay zakah and you believe in my prophets and then you support them and you loan to Allah Azza wa Jalla goodly loan, لَأُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ, I will remove your sins from you and I will make you enter into paradise. So that was the covenant of Allah Azza wa Jal, which Allah Azza wa Jal has made with them. But in this covenant as well, Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَآمَنْتُمْ بِرُسُولِي, you will bring faith in my prophets. So means if we take the first covenant, if we take the first covenant, if we take the meaning of this ayah according to first opinion, then they have to believe in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if we take this covenant, so even in this covenant, Allah Azza wa Jal has made, Allah Azza wa Jal has promised them that you will have to believe in my prophets, in my rusul, in my messengers. So according to this covenant, they had to believe in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. And all the other commandments, so those are included in this covenant. Because la in aqamtumus salata wa ataytumuz zakata wa amantum bi rusuli wa azzartumuhum wa aqratumullaha qardan hasana. So establishing prayer, paying zakah, having belief in all the prophets, and giving charity in the path of Allah azza wa jal. So these are the commandments of Islam as well, and these are the commandments of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well, and these are the commandments which have been given in Islam as well. So it means in both ways, in both opinion, they were commanded to believe in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that was the covenant which Allah azza wa jal had mentioned in that ayah, wa awfu bi ahdi uf bi ahdikum. And in both ayah, in both covenant, Allah Azza wa Jal has promised them to grant them victory and excellence over other people, other nations, and then Allah Azza wa Jal will remove their sins, and then Allah Azza wa Jal will make them enter into paradise. So that was the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal with them.
Dear viewers of Madni channel, Surah Baqarah is full of many verses in which Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is directly addressing Jews, and they had many bad qualities. And then again and again we are being reminded of these bad qualities of these Jews. What is the reason? Inshallah, we will ask the wisdom behind this. But before that, let's move to the question. That there is a verse in Surah Baqarah, verse number 41, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا, and exchange not my verses for a trivial sum. So let's ask Mufti Sahab, what is the explanation of this complete, this part of the verse, that وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا.
Allah said, don't exchange my ayat with trivial sum. So what is trivial sum? The trivial sum is worldly wealth. Whether that is a mountain of gold or silver, that is trivial sum against the ayat of Allah, against the verses of Allah, that is nothing, that is worthless. Because ayat of Allah Azza wa Jal is the word of Allah, and the importance and the excellence of the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal is beyond our imagination, and that is beyond any kind of price. So that's why Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. Now, what was the habit of Bani Israel scholars? The scholars of Bani Israel, what was their habit? Basically, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Madinatul Munawwara, and Bani Israel, means particularly Jews, were there, so they were invited to Islam, and they were commanded to believe in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They denied to believe. Why? What was the reason? Their main reason was their worldly desires and worldly wealth. How is that? Because those Jew scholars, they used to receive incentives and gifts and presents from their followers, because they were the leader of Jews. And Jews, the public of Jews, so they used to go to these scholars, and whenever they go to these people, so they present some presents, some gifts, and some money, some wealth. So these kind of things they were given by their followers. Now if they believe in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they have to become common people among Muslims, and they have to leave their leadership. They have to come out of their leadership and out of that circle in which they were given presents and gifts. So only to protect their presents and wealth and gifts, they deny to believe in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then they altered the verses of Torah and they changed the meaning of Torah, and then they told their people the wrong meaning of the verses of Torah. So that was their character, and that was their deed. That those were their actions. Means only for protecting their gifts and presents, what they were receiving from their followers, just for that, they denied to believe in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So means they prefer worldly wealth, they prefer the received money from their followers over believing in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in that context, Allah azza wa jal is addressing them. Wala tashtaru bi ayati samanan qalila, means when in my ayah, means ayah of Torah, when in those ayah I have described openly that you have to believe in every prophet of Allah azza wa jal, whosoever will come in future, you will have to believe in him. So when I have commanded you in Torah, so now only to protect your money, you are changing the meaning of those ayah, or you are concealing those ayah from your people. So wala tashtaru bi ayati samana qalila, don't exchange my ayat with trivial sum, with worldly wealth.
Acha Musa, exchange not, or don't exchange my verses for trivial sum. So some people, I mean, there are in many madaris, ulama and huffaz, they are teaching Quran Kareem, and then they are earning salary against that teaching. So will it also be considered like selling the verses of Quran?
They are not selling the verses of the Quran. They are selling their efforts and their time. Meaning a person is not bound to give 2 hours to other people. A person is not bound to give 2 hours to other people. But the people go to that person, ask questions. Now if he says that I have to earn something, so that's why I don't have time to tell you masails. So that's why I am going to my job. So the people would be deprived of learning Islamic knowledge. Now if that person is sitting for telling people masail and giving them verdicts, so because he is giving his time and he is making his efforts to look for that masala, to search for that masala, so now he is receiving salary against his time, not against his knowledge or against Quran, ma'adallah. So he's not receiving money on Quran, he is receiving money because he is giving time. So that's why this is not included in that. Then there is another difference between the scholars of Jews and the scholars of Islam. For example, our scholars, as our Muslim scholars, they sit for giving verdicts to people. The people come to them, they ask questions, these people give verdicts, they tell them masala, they tell them right masala, not the wrong one. They tell them right answer, masala, not the wrong one. But what the character, what we have told about these Jews people, what was that? They were altering the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal. They were changing the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they were concealing truth from the people, and they were misguiding them. So because they were misguiding them, for their worldly wealth, they were changing the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal. So in that context, Allah Azza wa Jal has said, don't exchange my ayah with trivial sum, with worldly wealth. But against them, on the other hand, the Muslim scholars, they are telling true masail. If that is found in even Muslim scholar, for example, ma'adallah, if a Muslim scholar does the same job what those Jews used to do, so then he would come under this warning as well, and he is also going against the commandment of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he is also selling out the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal for trivial sum. But it is very rare, and that might not happen anywhere. So that's why there is a big difference between the character and between the deeds of those Jew scholars and between the deed of our Muslim scholars.
Reviewers of Madhi channel, moving forward, in the very next ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbidding the Jews, the Ahl-e-Kitab, from some certain things. What are those things? اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ سے وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتَكْتُمُ الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Translation: And do not combine truth with falsehood, and do not conceal the truth knowingly. It was their habit to combine the truth and falsehood, and in this way they used to conceal the realities and especially the truth of Islam. Reviewers of Madri channel, let's ask Mufti Sahab, what is the meaning of truth and falsehood, haq and batil, in this verse? And furthermore, there is another thing, that is this kind of situation is found today in our time as well, that there are some people who combine the truth with falsehood.
The word haq is mentioned here.
وَلَا
تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتَكْتُمُ الْحَقَّ. Haq has been mentioned twice. And batil is mentioned once. Now, there are many meanings of haq, because the meaning of haq is truth. Truth, Allah Azza wa Jalla is truth. Paradise is truth, as there is a particular hadith in the books of in our beliefs books, it is mentioned al jannatu haqqun wan naru haqqun wal qiyamatu haqqun wan nabiyyun haqqun wan nabiyyun haqqun and wal qadru haqqun. So haq is a very general term which is said about jannah, about hell, and about prophets. But particularly here in this ayah, there are two meanings, but one is very obvious, and that is about the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is that? For example, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the Prophet of Allah. That is haq. That is truth. He is not the Prophet of Allah. That is batil. That is falsehood. Now, Jews used to do two things. One thing is kitman-e haq, concealing truth. The second thing is mixing truth with falsehood. As Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned two things here. One thing is wala talbisul haqqa bil batil. Don't mix truth with falsehood. Then wa taktumul haq means wala taktumul haq, and don't conceal truth. Now, what Jews used to do, sometime, most of the time, they concealed from the people that Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the Prophet of Allah. They didn't tell people that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the Prophet of Allah when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Madinatul Munawwara. So before the arrival of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Madinatul Munawwara, Jews used to say that a Prophet will come and we will believe in him, and then we will the follower of him, and we will the companions of him. They used to say to other people,
We will be followers
and companions of that Prophet. They used to say these words again and again in front of people. But when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Madinatul Munawwara, and the people asked those Jew scholars, is it the same person about whom you were telling us? The person will come and he would be Prophet and we will believe in him. So this is the same person? They said, no, this is not that person. He is another one. He has some other qualities. He has some other attributes. He belongs to Bani Israel, not belongs to Bani Ismail. That is concealing truth, because they are not telling truth, and they are telling lie to their people. Allah Azza wa Jal commanded them not to conceal truth, and they were concealing truth. The other thing, they were mixing truth with falsehood. What was that? They say Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Prophet of Allah. That is haq. But they mixed it with another thing, that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Prophet of Allah azza wa jal, but not for Bani Israel. He is Prophet for Bani Ismail, and we are Bani Israel. And we Bani Israel have been commanded not to believe in any prophet other than Musa alayhi salam and other than the sons of Hadrat Yaqub alayhi salam. Means we have been commanded to believe in only those prophets who will come and who has come among us. And we have been forbidden to believe in any other prophet who doesn't belong to Bani Israel. So that was falsehood and that was batil. And they used to mix that truth with falsehood. in one word they are saying he is prophet of Allah, that is truth. But on the other hand, in the second sentence they are saying, but this is prophet for Bani Ismail, not for Bani Israel. That was batil. So they were mixing that truth with that falsehood. So that was a thing, that was a thing what they were used to doing, and Allah Azza wa Jalla is forbidding them from that thing. Wa antum ta'lamun, you know that what you are doing and what are the actual commandments of Allah Azza wa Jalla, you know very well. But despite that, despite knowing that, you are mixing truth with falsehood and you are concealing truth. So that's why never do that. So these were, that was the meaning of this ayah. So that is one meaning of this ayah. On the other hand, they used to do the same things in the matters of fiqhi commandments as well. Meaning the furu'i matters, they used to do those things as well. For rich people, they told them some other things, and to poor people, Jee, they used to tell some other things. So that was another aspect of this ayah, وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتَكْتُمُ الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ.
And then the second part, that this kind of thing is found today as well.
These kind of things are found, as there are many sects, they have been coming for a long time. As in the early ages of Islam, there were Qadriya, there were Jabriya, and there were Mu'tazila. So what did they do? Basically, they took some ayah of the Quran and they left the other ones. So they were doing the same things which Allah Azza wa Jalla has forbidden in one ayah. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. You are believing in some ayah of the book of Allah and you are denying some ayah of the book of Allah. What are you doing? So that kind of character has been done by some people. They took one kind of ayah and they leave the other one. So these kind of people were existing, and they are existing nowadays, and they do those things as well. As for example, in those ayah in which Allah Azza wa Jalla has said about Quran, that Quran is the book of Allah, you have to follow it. So now they take these kind of ayah and then they deny and they reject the validity of ahadith. They say ahadith have been not proven from strong chain of narrators. So that's why we don't believe in ahadith, and we believe only in Quran, because that is the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and Quran is enough for us. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has said to us, وَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. So hold strongly the robe of Allah, means the book of Allah. So we are holding the book of Allah strongly, and other than that, we deny and we reject. So that kind of behavior is found nowadays as well.
The viewers of Madani channel, these kind of people are found today as well, who deliberately try to conceal the truth or try to mix the falsehood with truth. As Mufti Sahab was making mention of some of them, that it is their habit that they want to invalidate, they want to conceal the truth of Hadith-e Mubarakah just because of their wrong interpretation of this, that Quran is the only source of guidance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from these type of people and grant us the company of those people who are true scholars and true followers of our beloved master sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. With these words, I seek permission. Until next sinsla, please make dua for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the true and real understanding of Quran-e-Kareem. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Quran, Quran, in the night. Love.